just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
80% of Americans are in favor of storming the castle and destroying the inhuman monster. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. According to an ABC News Washington Post poll, 4 in 5 Americans favor assembling a torch-wielding mob to storm the gloomy castle on the outskirts of town and destroy the hideous creature within. Of the 20% not in favor of destroying the unholy man-thing, 18% said they would strongly agree if coerced by the mob. The remaining 2% said they disagree and would instead let the abomination live in peace and build for him a bride. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey Johnny, I got $5 that it won't last a week.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, it is Susie in here. We've got a woman in here again.
It's about time, for God's sake.
Yes, it is. Welcome to the show. This is, of course, our maiden voyage here. And I'm just so excited to have Susie in the studio here. This is the beginning of a new era for me and for the station.
Absolutely.
And
it's
obviously
so
for you too, huh? Yeah, so this is cool because for 3 months I totally felt lost, you know.
Aww.
And there's been a lot of women coming through these doors, you know, but then last Thursday you came in and the rest is history.
It's a match made in heaven.
There you go, there you go. So, but this thing about won't last a week, that's because Greg wanted to tease us, you know.
Because I know, I resent that.
Because there was a false start once. So he had to sit and do all the bumpers and everything. Didn't even last a week.
Oh, my gosh. Well, when I meet this person, he's gonna get it.
Yeah. No, but we're going to prove them wrong, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So this is awesome. You know, I mean, I don't even know where to start and stuff, but we are going to have some guests today.
Cool.
Hopefully they'll show up because I never confirmed for them. Like, I mean, half of the things I'm supposed to do, I don't do, you know, simply because there's not enough hours in the day.
Oh, trust me, I know that.
Yeah.
I've been having actually quite an interesting time lately because I'm looking for a new apartment right now. And being out there in Los Angeles and looking, trying to figure out where you want to live,
right.
It's pretty daunting. Let's just see.
You called me last night. You were like totally lost. You didn't know where you were.
You heard my GPS beeping in the background.
Yeah.
I mean,
talking to you.
But just the people alone that I have been meeting out there.
Right.
I mean, I've gone from like this crazy psycho Frankenstein looking woman who has had so much plastic surgery.
Really?
You know, she had cocaine dripping down her nose as she's like, you know, sniffling and pointing at me with her one fake nail that's left on her middle finger. And I couldn't figure out why she had one fake nail. But now I finally figured it out. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, the drug problem. Great. You know, I'm going to try and get out of here.
Oh, really? So she uses her nail, you think, for the coke?
Yeah. I couldn't.
To spoon the coke.
To spoon the cocaine.
Wow.
And then I swear, I really thought she was going to try and kill me. She asked me if I would crawl beneath her computer and try and figure out how to plug in one of these cords that was missing. And so as she's like standing above me with this huge flashlight looming over my head, I was like, this is something out of a horror movie. I'm going to be dead tomorrow.
Wow.
Crazy,
so,
crackly.
And this is you coming to look for an apartment, and she has you help her with her computer.
Yeah, I was looking to rent a room in her house, and, you know, she kept me there for 2.5 hours talking.
Wow. Oh, no.
The poor woman must have been so lonely. But but on the flip side...
Was she an older woman?
Probably about 60, trying to look about 40 with all the plastic surgery.
Yeah. See, that's one thing about older people is they need to talk all the time. So you don't want to strike up a conversation with them because they'll never end.
I know. I tried to be like, oh, these are beautiful flowers. And then I realized they were fake, you know, which is fine. But then she went off on a tangent about how she could never have a live flower in her house after her husband died. And then she like grabbed my arm and was holding my hand.
Uh-huh.
I was like, listen, lady, you know, this is great. But I'm going to move on to the next apartment, which... I don't even want to talk about that. No, I will. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
The guy sends me into his bedroom, and there are sex swings hanging from the ceiling.
Sex swings?
And chains. It was like some kind of weird S&M tortured sexual chamber going on. I have no idea.
And why did he have you go into the bedroom?
He wanted me to see his bathroom, which was through the bedroom. But I think he really wanted me to see the bedroom and use the bathroom as an excuse.
Obviously.
Shit. You know, and to each their own. I am not opposed to anyone doing their own thing in their own bedroom. You know, we all have our little personal things.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call
kinks.
That. Yes. We've all got our... But I go from the psycho lady trying to kill me to the man with the crazy sex swings.
Wow.
Is there anyone normal out in Los Angeles?
You have to look hard, you know. But I think it happens all over the place. That's the thing. Behind closed doors, you don't know what people are doing, you know. People that look totally straight on the street, man, and they got this whole closet full of skeletons, you know.
A closet full of S&M toys.
Yeah, or something like that.
With the naughty librarian in there.
Yeah.
Shush.
I don't know. Are you like into... These kind of things? I mean, not necessarily pain, but do you like being like handcuffed or something? Have you ever tried it?
Well, since you brought that up.
Yeah. Did I hit it right on the nose?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you a little story. The one time I was arrested, only once, and Mom and Dad, I hope you're not listening. But
the whole world is listening.
Oh, great.
Yeah, forget about that.
Oh, well. You know, I was 19, and I was obviously underage, and I was up in Saratoga, New York, and, you know, I had just graduated from my alcohol.
Underage for drinking.
Underage for drinking,
right,
yes.
Right, yes.
But so I shouldn't have been driving my vehicle anyway, but so I forgot my camera at the bar, and I left my car double parked on the side of the street running, actually, and I ran back up to the bar. And so, you know, I drunkenly stumble back down the hill to my car, and I hop in, and all of a sudden, I try and put it in first gear to go, and it's not going. And I hear a knock, knock, knock on the window, and so I look over, and there's a policeman staring at me. And so I roll down the window, and I'm like, how can I help you, officer? You know, like, what am I doing wrong? And he was like, license and registration, ma'am. And so I give him all my info. Turns out there was a small warrant in Colorado for my arrest for a ticket I didn't pay in Nebraska.
Wow.
I didn't really think Nebraska counted as a state.
so it probably does it only for tickets.
Oh, I know. I couldn't believe that. It was bullshit.
Yeah.
But so anyway, the officer was like, ma'am, get out of the car. And I'm like, why? You know, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Ma'am, please put your hands behind your back. And so they start handcuffing me.
Wow. And you're drunk.
And I'm very drunk and very confused.
Were you scared?
I wasn't really scared. I was just kind of...
Too drunk to be scared.
Too drunk to be scared. I was a little bit fucked up. But so I tell the officer, I was like, officer, this is not okay. The last time I was in handcuffs, they were pink and fuzzy, and it was voluntary.
Oh, my God.
With my lesbian girlfriend, and this is... I just feel violated right now. Oh,
whoa.
Officer.
You told him that? Are
I
you
told
serious?
Him that, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and he was like, that's exactly what he said. He said, are you serious? Who says that when they're getting arrested? He's like, oh my, just shut up. And the worst part was, it was a bicycle cop. It wasn't even it wasn't even in a cop car, you know, I didn't even have a siren. I had to walk to the station with my non-pink fuzzy handcuffs, feeling terribly violated. So to answer your question, handcuffs could be a little fun every now and then if you're
feeling naughty.
Yeah.
But you're not into like tying up and stuff like that, ropes, have you ever tried that?
Personally, I haven't. I will say, I am kind of curious about that, though.
Really?
I had a plane, a plane that I was taking back home for Christmas this year, and I went online and I bought what looked like an eye mask to me. And so I was actually flying first class. I had enough points that it racked up, and so I felt so cool going to sit in my first class seat. And so then I decided to recline my seat, and as I'm reclining it, I'm like, all right, I'm going to put my eye mask on. And so I take out the little box that I had just purchased, and I got to put the eye mask on, and about 20 feet of ribbon unwind from the eye mask.
Really?
And it was this really strong silk.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously mistakenly bought it at like a sex website, and it was a blindfold that coupled, you know, it doubled as like a hand tie or a foot tie or I don't know what.
Wow.
But it obviously looks like a sex toy as I'm trying to look cool in my first class seat, and I'm like, yeah, this is great. And everyone's just like, okay, who brought the little hooker onto the plane? I'm like, no, I swear I didn't mean it.
Yeah, I know. But I guess some people find the sensation of being helpless and stuff like erotic, you know. And I mean, I often think about this. Like, I like when a woman is like really aggressive, you know. So it's like, yeah, like take control type of a thing. But I never would go as far as like being tied up, you know, just kind of pretending I am or something and her taking advantage of me and all that, you know.
Yeah, there's, I don't know. There's just something about having control like taken from you. I don't know. I kind of find myself to be a bit of a control freak in my life. Like, I always have to drive. You know, I don't care if we're driving cross country. I will be driving for 40 hours.
Right.
But then when it comes to sexual, you know, sexuality, right, I kind of like to have the control taken back and have someone kind of dominate.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are like that. You know, I mean, I've read like people like CEOs and people in power positions. They kind of like look for a reversal of roles, you know.
You know, I think actually the freaky guy with the chains and the sex swing hanging from his bed, he told me that he had a pretty high stress job, you know, and was constantly busy and traveling. And, you know, I think he obviously, you know, was pretty high up in the food chain for some company.
Yeah.
Hence all of his naughty little bedroom toys.
I know, I know. People, you know, I mean, they do all kinds of crazy things, you know. And, you know, what are you going to do? Stop distracting me with the instant messages, please. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, I mean, all this fetish stuff and that. I mean, sometimes I'm like curious and stuff. But again, it has to do with women that dominate. I don't know. Call me crazy. But I think it's the same thing you just described, you know. I mean, it's like you're always in control and stuff. And you sort of like, because I think through sexuality, we act out all kinds of weird fucking things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, so you just figure, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if I ever told you this, but my end goal for my academic career, if I ever finish school, I'm now actually in my eighth year of undergraduate. Shit, has it been that long already?
A serial student.
Going on nine. Oh my God, I'm never going to graduate. That's okay. I'm too ADD to pay attention to something for too long. But anyway, I actually want to be a sex therapist when I grow up.
Really?
I don't think I ever told you
that.
That'd
be awesome. No.
Yeah.
Wow, well, we'll hear about that in a second, I'm sure. But you're not talking about sex surrogate, though.
No,
right?
No.
I mean, do those still exist? I remember for a while it was pretty popular, you know?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Tell us about your experience.
No, I haven't been to one. But I would imagine it'd be pretty cool to teach somebody how to have sex.
Oh, my God.
It sounds creepy to me. I don't know.
I had this one guy once upon a time, and tell me if this is too much information. The poor guy, you know, he was a virgin, and it's not that I'm that experienced.
Right.
You know, I've been around the block, but but so this poor kid, you know, I was probably like 21 at the time, and I think he was younger than me. I think he was like 19, and he was just like, Susie, please, 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 you know, I want you to be my first. Oh, please, you know, I'm so in love with you. And I was just kind of like, no, you're so annoying. You're not even cute. You know, oh my God, go away.
Yeah.
And then so one day, he finally, we all ended up getting like really drunk, and there was a group of four of us, and we went to this hotel, and I could not turn the kid down at this point. Honestly, he whips out a huge box from like a Costco of condoms,
really?
And he like opens the whole thing, and the whole thing goes like unfolding to the floor. It's like, and he's like, look, I'm ready, I'm prepared.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, oh, dude, you're only going to last like a minute anyway. Why the hell do you need like a 400 plus box of condoms? So I guess I was kind of a teacher at that moment in time, too.
Yeah, I suppose. So you helped him out.
You know what? I did.
You did, huh?
I hope he's out there listening
right
now.
Well, you're such a good friend.
You know, I'm not completely a heartless bitch.
No, so I suppose.
I took one for the team with that.
I mean,
that,
I wish I had a friend helping me out that way. Never been that lucky, you know.
Aww.
But so did he have a good time?
I think so. And then he passed out. No, I think he threw up and then passed out because he was that wasted.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, I don't know what that says about me.
Well, people do crazy things when they get drunk. And,
oh.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
They do, right?
Oh,
I'm sure you'll tell us over the weeks some of the crazy things
you've
done. I
don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. I know, you can just claim you blacked out every time.
I'm a good little Catholic
remember.
Girl.
Yeah.
Can't you tell?
Did you grow up did you go to Catholic school at all? Because you went to a girls' school later. We'll go over all this stuff. Because I don't know if, I mean, most people may not have heard the show when you were here, so we'll have to do things all over again.
That's okay.
But yeah. So go ahead.
No, I was born and raised extremely Catholic.
Really?
Like to this day, my poor grandmother, you know, every Sunday, if I call her, she's like, "And Susie, did you go to church today?" And I'm like, "Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, Grammy. Oh, yeah,
the church of the rich of the hearts."
Oh my God. Hey. I swear. It's
so, what do you tell her? Do you tell her you go?
I do tell her I go. Yeah. And I feel badly because when I go home, she actually wants proof that I went.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll actually. You know, I'll be at a bar having a Bloody Mary or something while I'm actually supposed to be at church.
Right.
And then I'll swing by the church on the way home. But what I do, it's genius. Mm-hmm. You go and you pick up a bulletin from the Spanish Mass.
Yeah.
And I say, "Grammy, you know, I went to the Spanish Mass today. You know, I slept in a little bit later. And look, you know, I even brought the bulletin home for you." And then that way she can't really ask me anything that happened at the Mass.
Yeah, that's true.
So I come back, you know, I'm having my Bloody Mary.
So wait a minute, you just went to pick up that thing?
You just pick up the bulletin on the
right.
way home.
Yeah, okay. So you stop the church to pick that.
You stop at the church to pick up the bulletin. That way you don't have to suffer. That way, you know, it's not really too much of a lie. You did go to church.
Yes.
You just didn't really go in.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, technically it's the truth.
It's a technicality, you know.
So did you go to Catholic school at all?
Yes,
really?
Yes. Good old Catholic schoolgirl uniform, the saddle shoes and the knee socks. And
what?
till
what age?
Until I was 15.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So for
That's
a long
a terrible
time.
Way to grow up, huh? Or did you like it?
You know what? It wasn't so bad. I kind of liked having the brothers. We didn't actually have priests or nuns or anything, but we did have brothers.
Yeah.
I don't really know the difference, except they wore this big brown kind of monkey-looking suit. that doesn't sound so good either.
A monkey suit.
No, what? A monk. It's a monk suit, I guess.
Right.
Not a monkey suit.
Oh, a monk.
A monk.
Might as well be...
Close enough.
Well, isn't monkey a nickname for monk? I mean, it would be, you know, just like a bill is a billy.
Yeah.
you know, so yeah.
And trust me, they all just look like little apes in their suits.
Yeah.
But I really liked horrifying them. You know, as I was kind of coming into my own and like growing up a little bit, you know, you wanted to have a short Catholic schoolgirl skirt,
right.
But they would come around with an index card and try and make sure that it was no more than
measure?
3 inches above your knee.
Wow. So as you're growing, you need to keep adjusting your dress so it'll
of
be
course.
The same distance from the knee.
But some girls, they would actually staple their entire skirt up so it was literally 3 inches like below their vagina.
Really?
and so you drop a pencil in the hall or something and oh my goodness, like what did you just see? Ah.
Yeah. But did they let them get away with it?
They would get detention, as would I. You would get kind of demerits, and the system would build up, and then after three, you would get a detention.
Really?
But this one guy, Brother Larry, he hated me just because I would have so many detentions racked up, but because I was a child model and actress, I would never be in school long enough to go see a detention.
Yeah.
So I made it 3 years without a single, actually going to a single detention.
Yeah. So you got into a lot of shit without having to be...
I never had to actually...
Accountable or anything.
Yeah. That's so bad.
It is.
And to this day, you know, I still don't think the rules apply to me.
No. Well, that's good. I mean, that's what makes you, you know, and the thing
is... Is it or is it spoiled?
You know what? Yeah, it's spoiled. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm like that too. Most people are. Well, I don't know if most, but many people just like to be in control of things, you know, and I think we grow up, I don't know, for a million of crazy reasons. Who knows, you know. But what are you going to do? Well, we got a first phone call.
Ah.
Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air with Susie and Sam. Who's on the line?
I want to welcome the Nero.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, listen, What's her name? Sandy?
Susie. Close enough, though I answer to anything that begins with an S. Or ends with an Uzi.
I call you Sweetie. I call you Sweetie then. That's not S.
Oh, yeah. Shucks, you're making me blush.
Yeah, you know what? Our lines are terrible again, man. I don't know. This is... I'm going to break the Skype thing, man, because you're breaking up. And so...
Don't do that.
What can we do you out of this morning?
She can keep talking. That makes me happy.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me happy. She got a pretty voice.
Yeah.
She got pretty... but and I know, I don't know, even though I can't see her because she's on the radio, I know that person. Yeah.
She is beautiful. She is beautiful.
Oh, guys.
So, yeah, you're embarrassing her already, you see?
Yeah, she embarrassed me already when I let her do it. All right. I love the radio.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you hung up. I have a feeling I know who that is, but that's okay.
You
that
do?
Was funny. Oh, yeah, I know exactly who that is. You'll meet him a little bit later.
Uh-oh.
But that was a good impression. It's just that, you know, the phones for a couple of days have been like this, and I just listen to the shows, to all the shows, and I'm getting so friggin' irritated that it cuts out every time. So we'll see what I can do, and I apologize to the listeners and to you, Susie, for the terrible quality of the phone.
No worries.
But that was also from a cell phone, obviously, and it doesn't work very well on radio.
Does anyone have a landline these days, though?
No, I don't think so. We do, but I never really use it. You know, I don't know. Yeah.
I actually had one for like 3 months. Actually for about a year that I paid the bill on, and it actually wasn't even plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally was just like, why am I just being stupid and throwing money to the phone company?
I know, because it's like such a habit, I think, to move into a new place and have the phone turned on, you know, that I think that's what happens. You know?
Well, I got the phone because I was dating a Canadian, and it was just, I had a $600 cell phone bill every month.
Wow.
Until I actually got the landline and, you know, got like a good plan to call him.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. That was an expensive relationship flying out to Vancouver all the time.
Wow. Yeah. So I told you I had a relationship in Canada also, in Toronto.
Yep.
And I would fly there all the time and talk on the phone all the time. And I don't know, there's something to be said about remote relationships, you know. I mean, it's very difficult, you know, because I think, you know, what I realize is that you're usually in a relationship because you want to be with someone. You know, if you feel like being with a person, then you call them up and you sit down and you cuddle or whatever you do together, you know. And here you can't do that. You know, what are you supposed to do?
But you know what? I kind of find, well, for me personally, I kind of like the long-distance relationship.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. You like the freedom, right?
I like the freedom to be able to do whatever I'm going to do, to have my own life, you know.
Right.
Actually, I shouldn't be saying all this because I have kind of a live-in boyfriend right now.
Yeah.
Sorry, baby. Anyway.
So what's kind of a live-in boyfriend? He's not officially in?
Well, oh, he's going to kill me.
Okay, then don't go
oh,
into
oh, no, no, it's fine, it's fine. Well, when we met, okay, let me tell you the story because it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm part of a, I call it a bicycle gang.
I'm sure you're very dangerous.
We're very dangerous on our bicycles, grr. But yeah, so I had a bicycle party at my house and, you know, we were all drinking and basically the guy who's my boyfriend now, Franz, he didn't really have a residence at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were playing backgammon and I got really drunk and then he started winning and I, because I'm a spoiled brat, I threw the board in the air and all the pieces in his face. And I was like, I'm not playing with you anymore.
Yeah, sounds like me. Throw away all the toys. I know. Go ahead.
But so then, you know, in a drunken stupor, I fell asleep with my head in his lap. nothing dirty happened. You know, get your mind out of the gutter. I see that
look
in your
eye. Well, you don't know. You probably blacked out. What the hell do you remember?
No, I do remember. I just, you know, sometimes you reach a point and you're just tired.
Yeah,
so I just needed a little bit of shut eye. But so anyway, I woke up the next morning with my head still in his lap.
Wow.
On my couch. You know, everyone else was gone.
Yeah. Was he sleeping?
He was sleeping too. And so I was just kind of like, huh, okay. As I'm like, you know, wiping the drool from the corner of my mouth, I'm like, I'm like, all right, well, why don't we just at least go get in my bed so it's more comfortable as my neck's broken.
Uh-huh.
And that was 6 months ago, and he never left.
Really?
So
he sort of, like, settled in, and that was
He's very settled in.
Wow.
Has he
moved in? I mean, is everything that he owns is there?
He doesn't really have much stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He has very little stuff, which is kind of nice because he keeps it all in a nice little corner.
Yeah.
Well, I try and keep it in the corner.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
unofficially you became an item, a relationship, after you just fell asleep on him on the couch.
Yep.
So it was
so
sort
girls,
of like,
don't fall asleep with your face in some random guy's lap if you don't want him to stay for a long time.
So you live in Venice right now, right?
Yes, yes.
So how come you're looking to move?
Oh my gosh, because I love living in Venice, but I live in a tiny, tiny studio. I think it's like 200 square feet.
Really?
Oh, that's terrible. And the rent is about, it's like $1,800 a month.
Wow.
And that doesn't include any utilities.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, for that kind of money, you can get a friggin' 2-bedroom apartment
mm-hmm.
that's really nice in the valley or
with
something.
With a sex swing.
You know? With a sex swing. You'll have a room just for that. You'll have your own dungeon at home.
I know.
Yeah. But a sex swing sounds appealing, doesn't it?
You know what? It doesn't sound so bad. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, just lying there all spread out and everything.
And everyone loves a swing, you know, going back to your childhood. Everyone just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something to be said about a vagina just sticking out there, you know,
that's
for the whole world.
That's not what's sticking out.
No. All right. Okay. So I mean, do men get on the swings? They don't get on the swings.
I think they're on the bottom.
No, you don't get. There's only one person on the swing.
No.
And then you do them.
Really?
Well, that's the way I've seen it happen.
I've seen one where the guy was on the bottom and the girl was on the top.
Yeah. And they just had regular sex and they were swinging while they were doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's not what a swing is. A swing is, it hangs from the ceiling, obviously, and the woman lies on it with her legs spread, and you just have sex that way instead of having it on the bed. So it's a missionary position.
What?
Yeah.
No, I've seen another one.
Okay, so there's probably other ones. I mean, I'm sure people think of all these crazy things. So, yeah, that'd be a good idea also.
That actually, the one I'm thinking about, I saw at Burning Man. It kind of actually freaked me out. Not the swing
itself. Did you
go
to Burning Man?
I went last year and the year before.
I saw your picture on Facebook. I thought, fuck, she's been to Burning Man.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Now, Burning Man, tell the people that don't know about it what it is exactly.
Oh, gosh, how do I describe Burning Man? Okay, let's see. Last year, there were probably about 50,000 people-ish, approximately, at Burning Man. And it's in a place called Black Rock City, Nevada,
mm-hmm.
Which is right outside of Gerlach. And it's kind of, I like to say, how do I say this? A lot of naked or people in costumes doing a lot of drugs.
Really?
Just kind of living communally for the period of a week.
Really?
I
was under the impression that no drugs are allowed there. Is that true? Or am I crazy?
Oh, that's funny.
It
Aren't
is?
You precious? No drugs at Burning Man. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, well,
that's why people go to Burning Man.
Oh, yeah?
So they could be naked and trip on all the acid in the world.
Really? Is everybody naked or some people choose not to?
Some people choose not to be naked.
Yeah.
Actually, when I... You know, people always tell me, like, if you look at my profile, like, on the site here, oh, Susie, you're so crazy. You're crazy.
Yeah.
But I was living in Marblehead, Massachusetts when I went to Burning Man the first time 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, once you're living outside of Boston, you know, the Boston preppiness kind of creeps into everyone's style a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wearing Nantucket red pants and like some spurry topsiders and, you know, a collared shirt, you know, not typical LA fashion or my current style. But yeah, so anyway, so I tried to pack my craziest clothes for my first Burning Man experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I show up at Burning Man and I literally spent the first 2 days like fully clothed in my tent, like with my head sticking out, you know, holding the, grasping, clutching the edge of the tent for dear life,
Whoa.
Looking at all of the freaks.
Really?
I was so scared.
So you came all the way from Massachusetts to go to this?
Yes.
And did you come by yourself?
I went and met some friends of mine from Colorado.
Cool.
But literally for 2 days, I was so scared of what was going on out there.
Really?
And then I met this guy, and he gave me acid, and I took off my clothes, and I just fell in love. With him for the night and then for Burning Man for for the rest of the week. But seriously, you just sometimes need to unwind and relax and just let yourself go.
Yeah.
And people were just so, they were not mean, but, you know, I kind of took it to heart. I put on, like, my craziest outfit at the time while I'm, like, literally tripping out. You know, people are like, oh, aren't you so sweet? Look at you. Oh, what are you, from Boston? Oh, and I'm just like, screw you guys. You know, this is my crazy outfit. So finally I just, you know, stripped down completely and like painted stars around my nipples and, you know,
really?
Went prancing about.
Wow.
That's just the way you gotta do
cool.
it there.
You know, I used to go to, well, we went a few times with friends when I was about 15 years old, when I was still back in Israel. There were like nudist beaches, like in resort areas and stuff. And we would go at fucking 15, you know, and just kind of walk around there. And it was a great feeling, you know. I mean, it's kind of like you have the wind blowing through your balls
it's
and everything.
It's so liberating.
You know? Yeah.
It really is.
It really is, you know. It's cool. I'm sure they have some around here, right?
You know what? I know there's one beach in Malibu that I know it's not topless, mm-hmm. but whenever I go there, I tend to be topless.
Really?
The surfers love me.
I'm sure.
They're always like, hi, Susie. Yeah. And I'm like, hi, guys.
So you have no problem with that, huh?
Oh, no, not at all. Really? But I will say, when I was in Venice, Italy, a while ago, I went to my first topless beach.
Right.
And I was so excited. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. They're going to be like, you know, all these hot chicks and all these hot guys, and everyone's going to be just like fabulous and topless. And well, not that it matters if the boys are topless. But but so we get there.
Yeah.
And it was,
you know,
all,
what, which reminds me, right after this, remind me. Okay. Go ahead.
It was all 90-year-old women with saggy tits way down to their ankles. And then you would have like this obese woman who would just like pick up her boobs and like toss them over her shoulder.
Whoa.
And I'm like, oh God. I wanted to throw up. I'm like, I thought it was gonna be full of like beautiful, hot, perky, bouncy boobies everywhere. And but no.
Which you would have liked, of course.
You appreciate
breasts.
I appreciate everything.
Yeah.
I appreciate people all around.
Yeah. You can't not appreciate breasts, you know?
Oh, I know. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. If you had, like, bigger boobs, like a size D, would you still be as comfortable doing that, you think?
I don't know. You know,
because it sticks out more, you know? It's not like, I mean, the way you are now, it's like kind of natural. You know, you have the model look, you know? And so you can do whatever you want. You can wear whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You don't have the big boobs to get in the way.
Oh, sorry. I keep hitting my microphone. Yeah, I know. I've always, back when I was a kid, I always, always, always wanted to get breast implants. Always.
Really?
Just because the boys were totally, they were so mean.
Right.
You know, they'd rub their hand in the desk and they're like, oh, Susie, guess what? And I'm like, what? They're like, that's your chest. I'm like, oh, you guys are such fucking losers. Like, seriously.
Yeah, that's mean.
So mean. So I always wanted fake boobs. But now that I've gotten older, an ex-boyfriend of mine once said, how do you make 5 pounds of fat look good? And I was like, I don't know how. He's like, you slap a nipple on it. He's like, that's all that big boobs are, is fat.
That's
and
true,
that kind of like got through to me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be proud of my small, perky boobs that will never sag.
There
and
you
so,
go.
And so to this day, I never wear a bra, you know. Back.
Yeah, I was going to mention this because today it's obvious that you don't. But
well, it's a little cold in here. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. You can come in here like this every day.
Which way's up?
Yeah. But no, but that's the thing. So you don't ever wear a bra,
Never wear a bra. I've got, you know, totally
let alone
perky.
A padded bra that a lot of women just wasted their time with.
I've given up on them.
Oh, you've tried them probably when you were younger, right?
Oh,
when
you're being teased? I still have them.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Actually, you know, when I was probably in fifth grade. My mom wouldn't even buy me a bra. I was like, please, mommy, please. All the other girls have one.
Yeah.
And I just thought if I had a bra, then maybe the boobs would come.
Yeah.
So I stole one from my sister. And it was so big around my chest that I tied it in a knot. And I was a dancer, so I took all of the lamb's wool from my toe shoes. Uh-huh. And I actually became a D.
Really?
In fifth grade. One morning, I was an A. The next day, I walk in, and I'm like a huge D.
Whoa.
You should have seen the look on the boys' face. They were just like... We heard girls develop overnight, but
this
holy
is
mama, as their hands are like gravitating towards my boobs. And I'm like, look, but don't touch, boys.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
And the St. Mary's gym shirt. Oh, that was in Catholic school.
Now, let me ask you this. Has any guy ever, like in your older age, not when they were teasing, but has any guy like tried to make you feel self-conscious about your boobs and try to talk you into a boob job and stuff?
Not, you know what, I would say pretty much like 95% of the men that I've dated or that I've come into contact with or that I just experience, you know, on a daily basis at the bar and things like that, I think like they all are just like really attracted to like my natural breasts.
Right.
Because, I don't know, a lot of girls that have bigger boobs, you know, you can't really see the nipple or like the full shape.
Right.
But I just say fuck it and I completely rock.
Yeah.
My natural breast and like my nipples are staring at them, and men are just usually fascinated by nipples.
I
don't know why.
Why are we fascinated by breasts? I mean, it's the same thing, you know.
I don't know.
I'll tell you why. Because we are wired that way. Okay. The thing is this: if we were not attracted to this, we would not be reproducing. You know. And another thing is, this is the first thing a baby sees when it comes out to the world.
Yeah.
Is a breast right in its face, pretty much. So that's why I think women are also preoccupied with this, because they come into the world. That's the first thing they see also. But women, you know.
First thing I saw was a vagina.
Really? the inside.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, but it's, I don't know why that is. In fact, I'll tell you, the other day, I sit like on my balcony. We have an apartment, and it's overlooking the street, and we're close to like the main street. So there's always people parking there and walking to the restaurants and all that. So there's always hot chicks walking by. And then there's this one chick that walks.
So you're a voyeur.
Well, no, I work, but yeah, but I tend to see everything that's going on. You know, you know, like that old lady that sits there and knows what's going on. My wife sometimes goes, how the fuck do you know this? It's like, because I put together stories about people based on what I see, you know? Like sometimes you see like a couple going out on the street and screaming at each other and taking the car and taking off and that. So yeah, you see a lot of shit. Police and FBI and yeah, there's all kinds of shit happening there.
Oh God!
But my point is that so sometimes they walk by and I get like a down blouse view, you know, whether I like it or not, I just do.
You know? Down blouse view.
Down blouse view. So it's so yeah, I mean, to look at a cleavage is also like can drive a man crazy, you know. But I can tell you that last week I think there's this new woman living there, I guess, that walks her dog. And she's got about breasts the size of yours, maybe a little bigger. And she was walking without a bra. Now, her nipples were so protruding that I could see it from across the street.
Oh, no.
I swear to you. And I was extremely turned on.
Oh,
you know?
God.
Yeah, so go figure, you know. The thing is this, look. When you have it, it doesn't seem appealing to you, okay? Like, I have a penis, right? Mm-hmm. When I look at it, I don't go, wow, you know, I gotta have it and stuff. So it's the same with women, you know? I mean, you're used to seeing your breasts all the time. You don't realize what the big deal is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's like, there's a lot of things that women like about men and stuff, like, I don't know, like a hairy chest or a muscular body or something like that.
Yeah.
That turns them on, you know? And that's just the way we are. We're wired to be attracted to each other. That's what I think. You know, and so that's really cool.
Boobs definitely are funny things.
Yeah, well, I love them. So, big fan.
Hell, I do too.
Yeah. I have a feeling our guests are not going to show up. I don't know why, because it's 9:37 already. But whatever, let's take a little quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
If you're addicted to Barack Obama, now is the time to reach out for the audacity of help.
My name is Jim, and I'm an Obamaholic.
Hi, Jim.
Do you find yourself watching the fist bump video over and over again? If so, you need help. Here at Obamanon, we provide an intimate setting for interventions before the convention.
It's been two full days since I read the Berlin speech.
At Obamanon, whether you're Obamanic depressive or Baractose intolerant, we can help. It's change you can believe in.
Way to go, Jim. Pound it. Oops. Almost had ya.
Unlike being at a John McCain rally, you're not alone. Call Obamanon today. Discounts available for journalists.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
I'm in that mood.
masturbator is held for questioning in a series of brutal masturbatings. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. Salem Middle School 8th grader Jeremy Royce is being questioned by police officials today in connection with a string of brutal masturbatings in the area. In the last month, some 31 Kleenex, 3 socks, and 1 baseball cap have been found severely masturbated. A search of Royce's bedroom uncovered items that may have been used in the crimes, including the fall 1998 J.Crew catalog. Royce is denying all charges, claiming to have been, quote, with his girlfriend from Canada at the time of the masturbatings. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News. Call.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And you are with Susie and Sam in the studio. It's our first show. So far, I'm having a blast.
Me too.
I really
too.
Am. I think this is going to be a big, big thing.
That little bit from The Onion just cracked me up about the...
The masturbation.
Yeah. Oh, God. Speaking of masturbation.
Yes.
Can I
yes.
go here?
We can always speak of masturbation. My
oh,
favorite.
My God.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just tell you a little, a quick funny story. All right, back when whenever I go home to visit my mom or my stepdad, their house is very, very, very old. But so basically, my bedroom is kind of close to theirs, and you know the walls are pretty thin, and they could hear things going on.
Right. Where do they live?
In upstate New York, Poughkeepsie, New York.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So this one night, I got home from a bar, and I really, really, really wanted to masturbate, but you know I couldn't do it upstairs because you know obviously I would wake them up. They're very light sleepers. Mm-hmm. I really hope they're not listening. But so anyway, I grab at the time my purple butterfly, and I run downstairs, and I put a fresh set of batteries in. There's nothing better than a freshie.
Okay, what's the purple butterfly?
The purple butterfly, it's simply for clitoral stimulation. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like shaped like a rubber butterfly.
Oh, really?
And you kind of use the nose of it. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you can use different parts of it because the vibrations kind of branch out.
Right.
And it's different intensities depending on, you know, where you touch it. Wow. But I find it's got the most oomph with the nose.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway, so I'm downstairs on my couch, which is directly underneath my mom's bedroom. Mm-hmm. But so I'm like, okay, da-da-da-da-da, I do my thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to forget my vibrator. I don't want to leave it on the couch because I know at 5 o'clock in the morning, my mom will come, like, you know, trundling downstairs in her robe yeah. to get her paper and have her coffee. So I take the vibrator and I put it on my stepdad's placemat, which is right by the stairs going upstairs.
Right.
That way, you know, I'll have to turn the light out and I'll see it and I won't forget it.
Oh, God.
You know, because I had been drinking and whatever.
Yeah, not the best idea. Not the best place to leave it.
Not the best idea. But so anyway, I'm watching TV downstairs still, and it's like 3 in the morning, and all of a sudden, my stepfather, I hear him coming down the stairs. Dun, 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 dun. And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, oh, shit, my poor stepdad. So all of a sudden, he turns on the kitchen light, and he goes to get some juice. And all of a sudden, I hear him just stop. And I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And he looks at me. He peeks his head around the corner and he's like, Suzanne, what is on my placemat? You know, he's like, this is where I have my breakfast in the morning. You know, I have my bacon and eggs, my fresh squeezed OJ. He's
and he like, knew what it was, right?
Oh,
obviously.
I think he picked it up
yeah.
And then, like, you know, turned it on or got some, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
But so I was so mortified. He's like, I do not want to have this happen again. He's like, yeah. Oh, my God. He's like, I'm not going to tell your mother.
Yeah. I mean, my God, you know, catching your kid with a vibrator, you know.
But on your stepdad's placemat where he yeah. eats his, like, breakfast, lunch,
know,
and dinner.
I know. I don't understand
that.
That
was so
that.
Wrong.
Yeah.
I'm such a bad child. Poor guy.
Yeah. So, wow. You know, we're going to be giving away some really cool toys.
Really?
If you're into toys, do you know, have you heard of Lilo?
No.
Okay. They're like... I think it's Lilo.com, L-E-L-O.
Okay.
And Johnny Dam is the one that made contact with him. We met him at the Erotica LA show.
You went to that?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Cool.
And, well, next year you'll be able to go for free because you'll have press credentials.
Yes!
No, we can go to just about any show now, you know, so.
Oh, my God, this yeah, is so cool. I didn't know about all the perks.
Yeah. Well, we got another call, so I don't want to keep him waiting. They've been trying for a few minutes here. Let's see.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Shalom, Mr. Sam. Hello to Miss Susie. Welcome you to the greatest show in the whole world.
Shalom, shalom. Hava Nagila.
Hello. Nagila, yes.
Mo.
I would like... Yeah, go ahead, please.
Mo, how you doing this morning, man? I sent you an email. Did you get it?
No. I haven't get it yet.
Okay.
No.
It just to explain to you that you'll be able to use the radio today and tomorrow. We just had to change our stream, so those Wi-Fi radios we're giving out. Mo won a radio on Johnny's show last
week.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah, so I sent it to him, and you've been unable to get the station because we changed our stream. We improved the sound of the quality of the sound, and so just hang in there. So now Mo is from Oregon.
Okay? Really?
And he has an opinion about
that
everything.
Accent?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, he's from Iran, right, Mo?
Yes, I have Iranian American. Yes, indeed.
Very cool.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he's very American. I mean, he's proud to be an American.
Awesome.
And he's really cool. He's one of the most devoted listeners, right? And Mo, what do you think of Susie so far? Do you like her?
No, I do approve Susie 500%.
500%. Awesome.
Okay, good.
Nice, beautiful sounding, and she's very, very good.
Yeah.
And I would like just to say that, you know, all the Ayatollahs in Iran are gays, and they use sex toys, all of them.
No, they don't.
Do they allow sex
toys
in Iran?
Really?
They do. They use they have satellite dish for themselves, but for Iranians they don't have satellite dish. If you have satellite dish in Iran, they take you to Evin prison, FEMA camp, and then they God knows if you come back alive or
right.
It's very bad situation. And Ahmadi. He himself is a gay, and himself actually the Ayatollah, the supreme leader Ayatollah, just I forgot his name. I hate him anyway. So he takes his medication from United States. They keep ship him from Iranian embassy. In the United States, a special order and ship it to him. He has AIDS, and everybody should know that. This Ayatollah's the dirtiest.
I wanted to know. Are you Muslim?
Mo, are you? Susie's asking you a question, Mo.
Are you Muslim, Mo?
No, never. Islam.
Okay.
Attack Iran, Islam, you know history, and Mr. Sam knows the history. About 1400 years ago, Muhammad attacked Iran and forced, after killing 1 million Iranians, etc.
Well,
Iranians become Muslims.
You gave us too much information.
The reason I was asking, my boyfriend and I got in a fight probably like 3 weeks ago, and in a drunken stupor, I joined eHarmony. But so they ask you like 2 million questions as you're joining. Actually, Franz didn't know I joined eHarmony. Sorry, honey, again. but so my first...
I mean, that relationship totally like...
I know.
Boggles my mind. That's okay. Go ahead.
Well, this is going back to Mo because yes. I actually, my first like 200 matches were Muslim men from
really?
All around the world.
Uh-huh.
And it was like not a single American. And one of them was named Mo. And he was willing to relocate from a different location. And so I was kind of wondering, I'm like, what the fuck did I do? Like, what? Why am I only getting these Muslim men,
right.
you know, matching with me on eHarmony? I accidentally checked the box that I was Muslim. So I was just wondering if you were maybe one of my matches, Mo, and that we were meant to be together.
Yeah, Mo, are you on eHarmony?
No, actually, it's because actually they have agenda. They come here, they rape American girls, and then they go back home. And then, you know...
That doesn't sound harmonious.
They're rapists. And all of them, they have, even in Australia... People piss on them. Everywhere in the world, they piss on them because you know, just because they're so
tall
and
you...
so elegantly, they can make the person. Oh yeah, he's the one. He's the one for me. But Yeah, for one night. Actually, in Islam, you can marry, but you have to go through Ayatollah first. They read some verses in Arabic. And they call sighe. Sighe means temporary marriage.
Then
that lady would be available for you for 24 hours, 48 hours, or whatever the binding
is. Sounds good. Where do I find them, Mo? Where do I find a lady like that?
I think Hollywood Boulevard. That's available for 24 hours.
There is a site called sighe.com, and there is lots of Iranians from Iran and other places. They want to be sighe. It means they want to have a temporary marriage.
Temporary
and
marriage, yeah.
Like that. So it is a form of
Vegas,
prostitution.
Maybe?
No, I think they just want to come get their papers.
It's a form of prostitution, but it's going through Islamic laws, is legal. But then if you don't go through the Allah and read the verse, then if they catch you, then they hang you.
Wow. That sounds good. Yeah, that's very appropriate.
I like my
Mo
name.
I love those stories you always bring to us, and stay tuned. We love to have you, and as we do the rest of our listeners, and we were talking about the sex toys and everything, so you should be listening. We're going to be giving some away. Maybe the wife would like it.
I don't know about that. Probably she would kick my ass.
Well,
you need to handcuff her to the bed and stick something in her mouth and then just go to town.
Yeah, you see, Mo, or if you don't get what you want at home, you go look for it elsewhere, right?
Hey.
So, yeah. Well, I'm not giving you any ideas. I'm just saying.
I am dedicated to my wife. I mean, my wife supports me, and I cannot do anything. I am a very loyal person and very good heart, and
that's why we love you, Mo.
Yeah. That's very good,
Mo. Thank you very much. And okay. I don't. My wife is, and if one hair of my wife, I will not change it with somebody else, because for one night, two nights, it doesn't. Or go to temporary marriage, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not Muslim anyway, but but anyway. So God bless you all. Shalom to everybody.
Shalom.
And
thank you.
Nice to you.
And Mo, there is something to be said about new pussy every now and then, you know, so.
We'll
talk to you later. Bye, Mo.
Bye. Oh my
gosh.
It's
funny. So I started describing the Lilo toys. And so what they have, they make vibrators that don't really look like vibrators.
Okay.
And one of them looks like a pebble, you know? And,
a pebble?
Yeah, like, okay, not pebble. What is it that I'm thinking of? Like, you know those, I don't know. You know what? No, they actually say it's shaped like a bean or something, you know?
Okay.
Just imagine that. But this thing is like, it's sort of like flat and a little angled. You can stick it in your panties and go about your day.
No, you know what? I've seen so many things like that, and like the remote control vibrator where you go out to a dinner party with your boyfriend and you've got like a vibrating underwear and your boyfriend has control over it, and you know, all of a sudden, or you know, you're going to like, you know, meet the parents or something, and all of a sudden he pushes like and next thing you know, everything is just so funny and
you're
laughing and giggling and I don't think it would work. Well, not for me personally.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I don't think
like
it's something.
I like direct action, like bam.
Right, right. Well, how would that not be direct?
And I also I also like higher voltage, and I don't think.
Well, we'll see. When we get them in here, we'll see.
I will. You know what? I will test them out.
Okay. There's another phone call. Let's see.
Uh-oh.
Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling? Hello.
Hello.
All right, I don't have patience for this. Anyway, so their vibrators are really not shaped like vibrators. Hmm. And they look like something that Apple would have designed.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, and they're a little bit pricey also, but they're like classy, you know. So imagine that vibrator you take in your purse, nobody knows it's a vibrator.
Wow.
You know, and there's also one that I actually bought at the show that appealed to me. It looks like an electric toothbrush.
Mm.
Okay, and it's got the tip, and you just put it on the little sensitive spot, and this thing is is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I'm going through security at an airport and, like, you know, when I'm traveling, you know, it's stressful. You want to have, like, your little personal time every now and then to unwind and, you know, relax. But I can't tell you how many times, like, my vibrators have gone off in my bag.
Really?
Like, going through, and they're just like, ma'am, please, like, step away from the bag, ma'am. You know, we've got to open it. We've got to find out what's in here. And I'm like, no, it's my toothbrush, please. Yeah. And then they're like, that's your toothbrush? Jesus, lady. You know, what the hell do you, what are you brushing with that? For Christ's sake.
Oh, man.
And I'm just mortified as my bag is, like, completely tossed apart at the airport, and all the men in line are like.
I know, but I would imagine a lot of women go through that, you know, so I don't think they.
It's still just mortifying to have, like, it's one thing to be talking about it on the radio where, you know, people aren't, like, blatantly staring at my face or my sex toys. It's another thing to be just, like, put on display and just, like, as they're frisking you.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh.
What? Yeah. So let me ask you this now. So this means that you always have to have your vibrator with you? I mean, do you ever use your hands, or have you become pretty numb to that?
Oh, you know, actually, this was a conversation I was just having the other day. My bed's up in the air on a loft because I live in a studio.
Right.
And so it's literally a queen-size bed, and it's up kind of on stilts, and my couch is underneath it. Mm-hmm. And my vibrator, you know, it's got a cord running up to the bed, but if I drop it, or if it falls off the bed, you know, I'm out of luck.
Right.
I can't be lazy. I've got to go get it. So the other day after sex, I was like, I'm like, Franzie, I'm like, go get my vibrator. And he's like, no, you go get it. Mm. And I'm like, no, you go get it. I'm like, come on, you already came. And he's like, yeah, exactly. I already came. I'm going back to bed. And I'm like, you asshole. I'm like, go get it. And he's like, just use your hand. And I was like, what?
Really?
What? Use my what? Absolutely not. I'm like, you use your hand. And he's like, no, I'm tired, honey. And so it goes back and forth like that. So the answer is, I think, actually, once or twice, maybe. I remember one time in particular when I was in the Army in basic training, and I became pretty desperate.
Yeah.
And they take your electric toothbrush away from you. I thought that was, like, my in. But yeah, so maybe only once or twice I've actually used my hand.
Your whole life?
My whole life.
So when you were a kid and you discovered this, I mean, you probably did not have a vibrator right away.
I didn't have a vibrator right away, but, you know, you discover, like, you're reading 17 magazine and that you steal from your
sister.
So
you discover the new, the different
Well, then there's always, like, the bathtub or, like, the shower head and, like, things like
and
that.
And the pillow and the rubbing on the pillow and all that.
All different kinds of things are out there.
I know, you women can masturbate in so many different ways.
Can I tell you, we're totally on this subject. all right, I'm going to tell you this one story. This is pretty bad. So when I was living in Marblehead, Massachusetts, I was kind of like a housewife with this ex-boyfriend of mine.
Okay, and how long ago was that?
This is now, gosh, going on like 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But so he actually rigged my little, my silver bullet. He spliced the wires because I was going through so many batteries, and it was getting really expensive. You know, we're going to Costco and, like, buying, like, bulk of double A batteries, but it's just getting to be ridiculous at this point. So finally, he was a carpenter. He spliced the wire, and he actually, like, rigged it so I could plug it into the wall.
Oh.
And that way I could have, like, direct high power voltage every time. But so one day that blew up. It kind of, like, just, it literally started smoking.
Wow.
And I'm like, no, not my baby. But so, all right, so he was a carpenter. Keep this in mind.
Uh-huh.
So I was kind of freaking out at the time. I was like, baby, I'm like, you've got to find another one right now. Like, we don't have time. The store is closed. I'm like, what are we going to do? And he's like, let me go down to my truck and see what I got. And I'm like, okay. So he comes up with a DeWalt palm sander. Now, I don't know if we have any men out here that are carpenters or know what this kind of power tool is, but wow. Whoa. Ladies, if you are out there listening,
so wait
take
a minute,
the
you
sand-
leaned on this fucking thing or what?
No, take the sandpaper off first.
Yeah.
Seriously, here ladies, take the sandpaper off first. And then you use a towel in between so it's not totally abrasive, and you plug that sucker in.
Wow.
Oh, my, I mean, oh, my God.
Wow.
It was just completely fucking ridiculous. But so the funny thing is.
So you like power tools.
I like power tools.
You definitely.
really, really
you
do.
You go to Home Depot for your needs.
If I see a man in a tool belt, I get hot and bothered instantly. I'm like, oh, my God. And if his hands are calloused and it feels like he actually works. Oh.
Yeah, you like that?
Yes.
You like him rough, huh?
Since we were talking about fetishes earlier. But so anyway, the poor guy who lived downstairs at this house, you know, I'm now going into like week three of my palm sander, and I'm not even leaving the house anymore. And talk about sex, I don't even want sex. I'm
really?
Like, give me my palm sander.
You got hooked on this shit.
I got addicted to it.
Really?
But so, you know, I'm using it at like 3-4 in the morning, all night long. Uh-huh. And so this poor old man who lived downstairs, one day he was taking his dog out, and he's like, excuse me, Susie. And I'm like, good morning. How are you, Peter? And he's like, oh, I'm good. I just wanted to know, when are you going to be done sanding the floor upstairs? I was like, oh, shit. My face, like, the color, like, drained from my face, and then it turned red instantly. And I'm like, you know, I didn't even know what to say. I was like, you know what, Sue and Peter, we're almost done with the renovations. Oh, fuck.
Oh, man.
So when your neighbors ask you when you're done with the home, when are you going to be done with the home renovations?
Yeah.
You know you have a little bit of a problem. So
plus, I mean, I would imagine that gives you like really strong stimulation, right? I mean, it's so easy to get addicted on that.
It's
I would imagine.
Really easy. It's actually taken me years to decrease the voltage that I
really?
Actually prefer.
Wow. Have you ever tried a Sibian?
No.
You don't know what a Sibian is?
Uh-uh.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Well, you need to discover this. Okay, a Sibian is something that you mount. It looks like a...
like a saddle?
Kind of like a saddle, okay? like those bulls that you...
mechanical bull.
Mechanical bulls. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay. So, but it sits on, you know, on the floor and stuff, and you you straddle over it, and there's different attachments, okay? There's insertions, and there's just for the outside.
I think I saw a porn like that once.
Yeah. If you ever watch Howard Stern on TV, they do this all the time. He's got a Sibian in his office, his studio there. So, but I had seen it before in porn and stuff. And and this thing is like, I mean, it makes noise like a machine and it works like a machine. But these women, man, they have the wildest orgasms when they get on there. And this is in front of people and everything.
Oh, no.
You know, in front of the cameras and the lights. So, this is probably your next option. We could probably find one for you, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We should start taking donations.
I know. I'm telling you. But whatever
Susie's
happened to...
Susie's Simeon Fund.
So whatever happened to just regular sex? I mean, you consume that as well, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, can I go back to the Simeon thing for just a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, while I didn't know it by that term,
right.
I actually have something somewhat similar, only it's an exercise machine. It's called the iGallop.
iGallop,
yes. Mm-hmm. They sell them at like Brookstone or Sharper Image,
right.
Like that kind of store. And so my sister and I were in an airport in North Carolina, and we saw this thing. We saw the iGallop like glistening from afar, and it was right next to the massaging chairs. You know, everyone's running through the airport. Everyone's late for their plane. And so instead of like going directly to the massaging chair, I was like, "Oh, the iGallop is calling me." So I, you know, we locked eyes and I walked towards it. And it's got this purple saddle on it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is right in front of the airport, right in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And my sister's like, what are you doing, Susie? And I'm like, Mimi. I'm like, no, the iGallop is calling.
Mm.
And so I straddle the iGallop and I mount it, you know, and I tuck my feet up underneath me and I grasp my hands on the on the little saddle part. And I push one horse.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, woohoo, it starts bucking me. And I'm going forward. And it's vibrating and bucking at the same time.
It's like a rocking horse, but with a lot more sensation. Yeah.
And you could do 1 through 4 horses. And it's not a sex toy. It's actually an exercise machine.
Right. You know what? As you're talking about it, I remember seeing that at Brookstone.
It is so obscene.
And women sit on that. And I go, yeah, this is like a masturbation machine.
It is absolutely hysterical. And for like the bargain price, I think it was like $900. I bought it. Like,
I
bought the fucking thing. They gave me free shipping from North Carolina back to Massachusetts.
Wow.
It's actually sitting in my apartment in Venice, California right now. Actually, outside. It's in the storage area getting rained on. But so my friends back in Massachusetts used to love coming over to my house and having parties. Everyone would get hammered, and we would have like these competitions, like a mechanical bull of who would get thrown off the iGallop.
Really?
and I personally used it as my exercise machine. I would watch my soap opera with a glass of wine every day at noon and a cigarette, and I would sit on my iGallop and just get tossed.
Wow. wow. You're heavy duty.
I'm hardcore. I don't mess around.
You are hardcore. Yeah. Here's the person that called us on the phone. Come on.
You know it was me?
Of course, you do that accent or impression on the air too. So, We know. This is TJ McCormick, by the way.
Hi, TJ.
Have a seat, TJ.
I'm Susie.
This
Welcome,
is Susie.
Susie.
Thank you.
TJ is our noon man. He's the one that called with the impression.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah. It was not an impression. It's a character.
It's a character.
Or that's actually, it is an impression of, oh, I don't know. I don't want to generalize.
Yeah.
But black guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a black guy.
That's what it was supposed to be.
Huh? Or as my Uncle Jimmy would say, a colored.
Yeah.
But anyway, but that's because he's from the Bronx and it's, you know, and he's you know, 70-something years old. A guy, a colored fella, used to work on the train with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, TJ's from New York as well.
Oh, wonderful. We're in New York.
A native New Yorker.
Westchester County, White Plains.
Oh, cool. I'm Dutchess County, mostly.
Oh, okay.
Dutchess County in the city.
Mostly Dutch, like that's like lineage. Like, I'm mostly Scottish. I'm three-quarters Irish and a-quarter
well,
Scottish.
Well, you know, divorced parents every other week here, every other week there, oh, eventually boarding school up in New York.
Are you a child of divorce?
I'm a broken child. Yeah.
Who isn't?
You're a broken child. Oh, sweetheart.
I that's, know.
Too many people are going to want to take advantage.
Here, I'll fix it for you, TJ.
Really? You promise?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, you're awesome. You're filthy. Right.
Oh, you think she's filthy?
Yeah. She's a nanny, right?
Yeah. Actually, can I tell you something?
You are the go-to girls.
So the husband of the family that I nanny for, yeah. I thought I told both parents when they, you know, when they were giving me the interview process that I was a lesbian once upon a time. Mm. But apparently I just told the father and I never told the mom. And so she listened to my first broadcast and she, you know, she said to the husband, she's like, honey, did you know our nanny used to be a lesbian? like who did we hire?
Yeah.
And so now I'm going to have to go answer to her after this actually.
Oh, funny. Awesome. Or you could just go make out with her.
Or I could do that
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Cause you know what? Maybe mom was like, you know, it's this is something we discussed a long time ago, honey, and now we have the kids.
Yeah, you don't have to answer to anyone. I mean, this is you, you know? I mean, you don't have to answer for this.
Let's concentrate on the possibility of her making out with her employer.
Yeah.
Let's concentrate on that.
She is quite a looker. She's quite hot.
Where in the valley?
No, Malibu. Malibu mommy.
Oh, you got to bang them off. No. So obviously they're really cool
she
and they're really
so gonna kill me.
No, but you see, but just the fact that
knows
she's like really cool and you know what? More stuff goes on than you could even shake a stick at. There's a lot going on. Like Elliot Spitzer, the New York governor.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was saying she knew about this.
Yeah.
She knew
about the wife, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Scylla. I believe she knew because there was no way that this guy, being as high profile, would have carried on as much as he was doing with all this instead without her. I think she was one of those women who loved the power of her husband and loved her, and was just like, you know what, you want to provide, you want to take it, okay.
She probably was doing the same
and
thing.
It was just whatever. And she might have been getting herself the high hard one on the side.
Yeah. Some, high hard
some,
one.
From some young Latin dude.
I think everybody's getting some on the side, you know.
Not me.
No, not you.
Why do you think I'm here so freaking
everyone,
early? I got nothing going on in my
there
life.
There you go.
I quit coffee 2 weeks ago. I got nothing left. I'm drinking tea now.
Yeah.
I'm drinking decaf tea. For the love of Christ on a stick, I've got nothing going on in my life.
But
I got no coffee.
It doesn't sound like you need any more coffee.
No, well, that's the thing. You know what? There you go.
Sammy, slip him a Valium. Anything.
Every morning he gets up in the morning, he's shot out of a cannon.
Do you want to feel? You want to feel better about yourself?
Yes.
Right now? Okay, this make you feel better about yourself that you're not me.
Okay.
All right? Just now, I'm crossing 6th on my way here. I'm coming up Flower, and I'm crossing 6th to get here to the plaza, and a guy comes zipping down on his motorcycle, and he doesn't show any signs of slowing. And I'm in the intersection, right?
Wow.
And he doesn't show any signs of slowing, and I'm stopping, I'm looking, oh, and he's actually right there. I just said, I stopped. Mm-hmm. I stopped, so I was in his path. he wasn't going crazy. He was just coming straight at me. And the idiot, I don't know I wanted, because I think my instinct was to get his attention to tell him to stop. That's a red light.
Right.
Instead of just scooting the hell across the goddamn intersection, I stop and go, oh, like that.
Yeah.
That's the guy that gets hit.
Yeah. Exactly. What you experienced is a deer caught in the headlights.
I am a friggin' moron. I stood there. I was the guy who gets hit. You say, God, how do you get hit by a motor? You see it coming a mile away. I'm a moron.
Yeah.
That was me.
Oh, my God.
That happens.
But that makes for great radio.
Yeah, so Susie was telling us about all kind of power tools and everything. You missed
the
whole thing.
You're just filthy. Power tools.
I prefer resourceful.
Yeah.
She's very resourceful.
Oh, you just talk about power tools. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Power tools. You're not talking. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I was.
Yeah, you were, huh?
She was.
Yeah. What, you're resourceful?
Palm Sanders.
Palm Sanders.
High voltage. Quite nice.
And you can
take the sandpaper off first.
Well, one would think, yeah.
Yep.
And what you do, and now you don't
it's
actually
a little abrasive if you forget.
You don't actually place it on you. You're more kind of like just sort of rest your hand.
Oh,
did
no,
you,
no,
did you
no,
learn that
no.
by accident?
I used to date a carpenter. and after he spliced the wires to one of my old vibrators and it blew up, I kind of was just like desperate one night. I'm like, oh my God, honey, honey, because he wasn't doing the trick.
Right.
And so he's like, let me go out to the truck. And he went out to the truck and he came back with a DeWalt palm sander.
DeWalt, that is good. Yeah, DeWalt. If you're going to get off with any
good
kind of hand quality. Brand. DeWalt.
Good
yeah.
quality.
Craftsman's overrated.
So I recommend it to anyone who's interested out there.
Yeah,
and there you go.
Especially if your utilities are included in your rent.
There you
because,
go.
Because you know it definitely
Might
zaps well. Up a lot of electricity.
Yeah,
as well. How old are you? Oh, you know, but the girls. I always do that. I always ask on the air how old the girls
it's
are.
It's okay. I don't mind. I'm 26.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. See, TJ, what are we doing married, man? You know, but that's the thing is that
that's fantastic.
Yeah. You're married, TJ?
Yeah.
Someone married you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
do you believe
God
it?
And,
she, and she's actually pregnant with this baby
she's
right
pregnant.
Now.
She's pregnant. She's a dancer. She's like a gorgeous English dancer. Well, I'm a comedian. You know, come on. I'm, you know, I was, I'm an entertainer. It's all show. If it wasn't for the show business, I wouldn't have gotten nothing. Never. I'd have never seen a bare boob live. I'd have never seen a boob live and in person if it wasn't for show business. But you put a guy like me in show business, and it's line them up. Here we go.
There you go.
It was sex. Then I end up with this girl from Liverpool, like a sexy, gorgeous recording artist, dancer, hottie, girl group, you know,
good
like a Spice
you.
Girl kind of
yes.
thing. That's what I meant. Yeah. And
which Spice Girl? Which Spice Girl?
Well, no, she wasn't a Spice Girl.
Well, I know, but which one would you equate her to?
She'd be a she'd be a mix between Scary and...
Sporty?
No,
Posh.
And Baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the blonde.
The blonde and but yeah. with the attitude of
scary.
A scary Spice. Yeah.
I think her name is
fun.
Jerry Halliwell or
Jerry
something.
Jerry Halliwell. Yeah, well, actually, my wife went to school with Posh.
Really?
She went to boarding school in Britain with Posh, and they almost got into a fight on a train.
Wow.
They were coming home from school. They were on their way home for a holiday.
Uh-huh.
And Victoria would always stand in front of my wife as Andy. She would always stand in front of Andy in ballet class, and she wouldn't give a shit. She wouldn't try. And Andy, and it's a thing in dance class. It's like, you know, if you're not going to try, don't stand in front of me. Let the teacher see me. You know, so
yeah.
you're not, if you're
yeah.
going to move your ass, get the hell out of the way. And so they were sitting there in opposite seats, and Andy finally said something to her. And Posh like got all kind of defensive, whatever, kind of uppity. And the two of them, they basically had to be kind of separate. My wife like went to pop her in the face.
Yeah. With a toe shoe. Whack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Death by toe shoe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Seriously, you get off with tools? That's awesome.
I know. I'm telling you.
Not anymore.
We got a firecracker here, man.
A spark plug. She'll find a way to use it. You ever use a firecracker?
Oh, my God.
Might as well.
She's like, oh, bottle rocket, maybe.
That's a pretty good impression of a bottle rocket.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
Not so bad.
I'm good. I'm good at these things. I'm just generally funny, sweetheart.
Yes,
in a very sophisticated yet goofy
TJ,
way.
I never heard you really do like impressions other than the characters you have. Do you do any famous impressions?
Because I don't. You know why? Because I do regular people well. Like I can imitate you. I can do most Israelis.
Let's hear it.
I can do it, but not on the spot. But I can do. I've always been able to really nail people that I know, like regular people that I know.
Right.
I always do really good impressions.
Right.
I think it's always because I guess I kind of shy away from doing celebrities, and I've never did it in my act because there are so many mediocre to bad impressions out
there.
I didn't want to be another one.
Yeah.
I think impressions, and this is another reason why I've kind of shied away from doing stand-up anymore. It's one of those things. You get a million people out there call themselves impressionists, and
right.
they get up there, and they do the same goddamn impressions. They do Rocky.
Yeah.
You know, they do Rocky, and they always do it the same way. They'll do it. Actually, I can do it for you because it's mediocre to bad.
Okay.
They'll do like, what would it be like if... what would it be like if Rocky Balboa and Jack Nicholson were bowling instructors?
Right.
Okay. Or worked at a bowling alley. You know, it'd be something like this. And then and the bad comic would then turn his back to the audience and then turn around and he'd go something like, I need a pair of shoes. What size you wear? You know, that kind of thing. It'd be bad impressions.
Right.
So I did, the only impression I've ever done in my act was Arthur. Dudley Moore, remember
yes,
the movie Arthur?
Yes,
oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. I used to do that. Let me see. Mic's kind of hot. Sometimes I don't like to do.
He looks like him too right
I
now.
I know because I've grown my hair. I used to have very very short hair like him over there. And I now that I've got the longer hair, every once in a while people say, God, you look like fucking Dudley Moore. And I say, I say, well, thank you very much. You're very pretty. You're a very pretty girl. Anyway, you see, and so it takes some, it would take some, that's a very rusty.
That was wonderful.
It's good, but it's rusty. But trust me, it's rusty because I know how good it can sound.
Right.
And also, there's a difference between doing it here and hearing it in headphones and doing it in an auditorium, right, in a theater, 3,000 people, it kind of spreads and it's a different thing. Right. So this is, you know, but that's like the only impression I ever did in my act,
right,
was that one.
Wow.
Because there's so many mediocre impressions out there.
Yeah, yeah. You know. But you do great characters and stuff.
Thank you. I love my characters. I love my I love my guys. I just don't do them much.
I can't wait to hear your impersonation of me.
Yeah, there you go.
How old are the kids that you nanny?
One is 2.5 and the other one's a newborn.
Wow. How'd you find the family? How'd they find you?
Believe it or not, I found them on Craigslist, and this is actually kind of funny. So I've been working for them for 3 months at this point, and you know, we were all cooking for this Halloween party that we were having at their house, and so we were drinking our cocktails like while we were preparing, and so we're all getting a little bit drunk, you know, with the family I nanny for, and so all of a sudden, you know, they tell me that they knew all about me before I even walked in the door, mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm like, how did you know that? I'm like, I had never told you that in an email or anything. And it turns out they had MyStalked me, which is actually becoming like really popular these days, through MySpace.
What's it called? MyStalk?
I call it MyStalking.
Oh, MyStalking.
So they had gone on my MySpace webpage as soon as I had responded to the ad saying I was interested in coming up for an interview. And so there was a picture of me, like my profile picture. I was table dancing in Mexico, like, you know, revealing all kinds of parts of my bodies that I shouldn't be doing. And my hobbies, it was like, I like drinking, I like partying, I like partying, I like drinking. And so I just wondered, I was like, and you guys hired me as your nanny? I'm like, these are the things I'm portraying about myself, and you guys MyStalked me.
You know what? Something's gonna happen.
What do you mean something's gonna happen?
I think this is. You've been with them for how long now?
A year now.
Has the mother ever kind of made a pass at you?
No. Absolutely not.
I won't ask you about the father because I don't want to ruin it if he has.
He hasn't either. They've totally just adopted me as like part of the family. They're so great.
Yeah. I know, but you have to have a lot of willpower.
There's ulterior motives
not to,
going on here.
Okay.
There's ulterior motives. Yeah. Oh, you're adorable, and you wear little tank tops.
Yeah.
They got it.
I mean, if I hired her as a nanny, it's a sure thing. I mean, there's.
Yeah.
No, it's a sure thing. I'd be very attracted to you, but I would never
I'm
do this.
I'm gonna have to go ahead and say no.
I don't have the balls.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not convinced.
It sounds good in fantasy.
I'll have to talk to you like 3 years. You'll have to have gone through your entire employment with them with nothing happening for me to be convinced that they don't
serious,
have it.
I'm serious. Nothing is happening.
Yeah. No, something's up.
No, believe me, if something happened, she would tell us. That's one thing about her is that she's very honest.
Is it your clock radio? Do you have your clock radio?
My clock, huh?
Is it your in your room? Do you live with them?
No.
Okay. I was gonna say, you just be careful, like your bedroom and like a little spy camera in the clock. Just saying.
Oh, there are nanny cams everywhere, I'm sure.
Yeah. Are they in show business?
No. Advertising and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't need to reveal too much about them. They're gonna fucking sue us.
Fuck them. How tall are they? I'm kidding.
So, well, that's cool. So, TJ is on from noon to two every day.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's the world of TJ McCormick.
Yeah.
And this and man what, can do a show
a
on his own.
What a world it is in his little head.
It's a huge head filled with wonderful ideas.
Yeah.
And fascinating theories.
So, you've been...
Is this
you've
room
been,
padded?
No, really. In fact, when Johnny comes in here, he says it seems like you've just been through a workout.
Yeah, there are some days when he comes in, I'm totally spent because I'm just doing 2 hours on my own, and if it's all a high level of energy, whether I'm ranting politically or doing like a bunch of characters throughout the 2 hours. It's all improv, no matter what. I don't write anything out, especially if I'm doing characters, and it can really just drain you. There'll be days I walk out of here, I feel like I ran a marathon. Just
really?
Physically and emotionally, it can be exhausting. And it's just as exhausting the days where I have nothing to say.
Yeah. What do you say when you have nothing to say?
Very little.
Yeah. It's very hard. Very hard to do that, you know. And you need a lot of prep.
Must be very hard to listen to.
Yeah.
It's very. Fuck you. No, it's very. Yes, it is. Imagine how hard it is to do it. Imagine how hard it is to sit in the middle of nothing. You little shit. Who the fuck is this kid? Yeah, a lot of fucking attitude on you, kid. No, anyway. Yeah, you're all right.
Yeah, she's going to call you on your own game.
She's got a lot of fucking nerve. Yeah, she's a good kid. That's nice. It's good, Sam. Yeah, more of her. Good,
I'm scared.
Every day? We got every day with this one?
Every day.
Excellent. Nice.
She's
yeah.
every
I'll be,
day,
I'll be coming in at 11 now.
She's part of the family, though.
Oh, yeah. She's spunky, this one. Yeah, yeah, taking liberties. I've been here six. I've been in show business 20 years. Oh, it must be hard to listen to. F yourself. And you get intimate with the coffee mug. Yeah, go make friends with the coffee mug around the corner.
Right? Yeah, no, we're starting with the insults.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Anyway, no.
Are you good with insults? Did you ever do acts with insults? Like insult
no,
your audience?
No, you know why? You know what? I tell you no. But I was totally kidding, sweetheart.
She
rolls at it. She's good. You're smart.
She knows.
Yeah. I never did because I didn't like to put the. I knew comics. See, I like to be real. I really liked real stuff. Like, I never made anything up generally. I would tell true stories with some embellishment, of course.
Right.
But one thing that killed me was, like, there are guys, and I really ran into this on cruise ships more than anywhere else, but there were guys who would do insult kind of acts, mm-hmm. like a very poor man, a homeless man's Don Rickles.
Don Rickles, right. Mm.
And I found out one guy, I remember seeing him. And then I saw him again on a ship. I rarely worked with comedians because when I was on a ship, I was the comedian on the
right,
ship.
Right.
So usually I would take off after a couple of days and another comedian would take my place and do show. So I see this guy, our paths crossed, and I said to a friend of mine, a cruise director, I said, boy, I said, he's almost doing the same act. I said, that's weird that it happened to be. Sometimes I'm just thicker than a goddamn stump. And I realize I'm sitting there looking, probably because I give benefit of the doubt. You know, there was a phase there where I was like, well, if he's a comedian, he's got the qualifications like I've got the qualifications.
Right.
If he's on a cruise ship, well, then he must be here for a reason. This is early in my cruise ship career. And sure enough, and the guy, the cruise director said, he goes, yeah, it's the same act. He goes, he finds these people during the day out on the deck and he sets up the whole show. I said, what the fuck? I said, and that's when, you know, first when I found out that Robin Williams was a big thief, when I found out that Robin Williams stole like three quarters of his act, it really just sort of
aww.
Shattered you, you know?
Really?
You go, oh my God, but yeah.
Your idol.
Yeah, well, you know, to a degree, yeah. You know, and then this guy, I mean, he goes out, sets up the act. And that's the only way that you can do a kind of, unless you're Don Rickles, that's the only kind of way you can do an act like that.
Right.
Because, you know, you can't, I didn't want to do an insult show, A, because I didn't want to make people uncomfortable.
Right.
And B, it wasn't my kind of comedy. It wasn't,
exactly.
It wasn't my nature. And C, you never want to put the entire well-being of the show in the audience's hands.
Right.
That's dangerous stuff. Because
right.
you don't get an audience that responds. You know, and an audience, you know, that group mentality, I've played for as many as, well, I hosted Woodstock 99, so I've actually played for 150,000.
Wow.
But that really, I didn't do my act, I just emceed it. I introduced Chili Peppers, and I introduced Kid
really?
Rock, and I
introduced one? You
yeah,
were
I had MC, a beer with, huh? I had a beer with Elvis Costello.
Wow.
That's right across the river from where I grew up.
There you go. It was in 1999, and I stayed at the Turning Stone Resort.
Okay.
Right there, the casino there. We did it, because we did it at the Air Force Base and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've had a really cool career. So I've played
I'm
for
kind
big
of a big deal.
But when you got 5,000 people, they tend to take on the personality of one. They all come together, and this is the thing that you could do. You could do a thesis on this. I have no idea. After 20 years, this is the one thing I can never explain to you, mm-hmm. which is how it is that 5,000 strangers come into a room. You turn off the lights and you put on the show, and they will react generally as one. There's hot spots. There's better tables. There's
right,
better
right.
sections. The balcony can be more in tune than downstairs. And vice versa. But generally speaking, those 5,000 people will either be a good audience or a bad audience, or right in the middle.
Right.
And you go, you know, you go in there and you go to one person, hey, so where are you from? And if that's your kind of act, if they don't answer you, if you got to try to get water from a stone, there's a good chance that the next stone you go to, they're not going to give you nothing either.
Right.
And then that person, because they just think, well, we're not supposed to give them anything.
Right.
So it was, I just did my damn show, and it was me. Now, if you heckled me, I would kill you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I better not heckle you at all.
Yeah, no, that's when I would insult. That's when I would literally tear people apart. Because how dare you talk when I'm talking? How dare you? You know?
Well, we're going to take one more break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. And now let's get...
Official news music right there.
Yes, that's exactly. I picked
it's
it out
Sam
myself.
Sam and I are so official.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's more like kind of a sports introduction thing, mm-hmm. and I liked it. We did it for another show, and I thought, Greg, put that one down.
We could go all the way.
Aw, you are a lesbian. You know your ESPN stuff. Yeah. That's awesome.
No, I hate sports.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. Well, I don't hate them. I like playing them, but when it comes to watching them, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Torture.
Yeah.
I had to go to the World Series, and... I was forced to go to the World Series.
Which one?
Not this year, the one before, in Boston. I don't even know who they were playing. I was like, can I get another Coors Light and a hot dog? Enough is enough.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Well, it's an occasion to party and stuff, you know? Yeah. Listen, we're going to, by the way, both of you, we're getting microphone arms.
Ooh, cool.
Like it sounds like a medical condition.
Yes. Well, it's going to be better than these, let me tell you.
Okay. Oh, we're getting microphone arms. We're getting the things with the springs and whatever.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be here.
Very
like this.
Cool.
Okay, so next week we're going to have those.
Awesome.
Because I've started to get irritated with these microphone stands.
I thought you were pointing at me because I'm like sitting with my leg around my neck.
Oh, no. I'm just saying that.
Now that's sexy.
You should be able to have the freedom to move around.
No,
you
got to put your. You got to sit with your leg around your neck. You go right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Two old married men. 26-year-old, the foot behind a head. head. That's a 100% positive thing. That's like the Easter Bunny. There is no negative associated
no, it's
with
all
a 26-year-old with a limber leg.
Yeah, there you go.
Nothing.
Yeah, I think she's going to drive us all our married men here crazy.
Oh, boys.
Yeah, well, that's what we do here.
Yeah.
Thank God I came along to save you guys from yourself.
Yeah. That's exactly what you've done, sweetheart. That's exactly what you've done.
So Susie, I wanted to ask you, you've been going to college for 21 years now, right?
Nine. Fucker, nine.
Okay, so...
Did you just snort?
Yeah, because that was very funny.
That's his laugh.
I just had to double check.
Yes, that was it.
So, you probably changed your major a few times.
You know what, actually...
What do you do now?
My first major was herpetology.
Herpetology. What's that about? Herpes?
I'm waiting for a comment. I thought it was going to come out of this one.
That's like no.
In the study of herpes.
I don't walk through the obvious door. I wait for the little door down there to open.
Yeah,
that's
it was pretty obvious. I guess I walked right in there.
Yeah,
it's actually the study of reptiles and amphibians.
Oh, really?
And actually, one of my little hobbies that I have right now, I breed bearded dragons.
See, now that's a door that I would potentially, but I just like, that's too complicated.
I was waiting for that
bearded
one as
dragon,
well.
Bearded dragon, because it's got four.
It's kind of similar to like a bearded clam.
Yeah,
except this one bites back. Bearded dragon is one that stings.
You know what? You talked about bearded clam, and you just reminded me of something that we have to play.
Okay,
we have to play this one. DJ, I don't know if you've heard this one, but it's called Camel Toe.
Oh, God.
Okay? Oy. And since you mentioned bearded clam, this just occurred to me that we have this one. So listen to this. It's really, really good. Okay? As soon as it starts, of course. But this is a
song. Gishim,
Gishim. Go ahead.
No, I mean...
I had a camel toe the other day. And my boyfriend said, he's like, oh, I'm like, I can't wear this. I have a camel toe. And he's like, no, honey. Girls or boys love the camel toe.
We love camel toes.
It depends on the woman who's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They can be very fat lips there.
Nana's camel toe, bad thing. Bad thing. Little Hottie's camel toe, all day.
Yeah, big fan.
Yeah, my mom's, no. No. Your Aunt Clara's, no. The Armenian girl at the hair salon, absolutely.
You'll take it. Okay.
God. Why can't we just have the Armenian girls? Can we trade in all the Armenian dudes and just keep the Kardashians?
We could.
You're a beautiful girl, and your pants are on so tight that when you stand just right, I can see it all. When you're on the beach and your bikini's soaking wet, I see a fuzzy silhouette as I look down below. I see your camel toe. Your biscuits, your beavage, I see your cooter cleavage. Your monkey, your muffin, you ain't hiding nothing. Your Gucci, your flapper, you're showing off your snapper. Your camel toe, it looks alright, so baby let it show. Looks like a big taco. I see your camel toe. Madame, voila le bearded clam.
There you go, bearded clam.
Bearded clam.
See, now, I know these guys.
Do you?
I am so glad that we're in radio, because someday I want to have a chance to crush them.
Yeah?
Bob and Tom?
Oh, is that who it is? I don't know.
Now, it's not their song.
Right.
Some other artist did the song. What's
but
the
they introduced
name?
It?
Yeah.
Really?
Guys, Bob and Tom.
I didn't know that.
Biggest jerks in radio.
All of
the
this because I was trying
jerks.
To talk about my lizards and my academic career. Can
there
you guys
go.
Focus
oh my
for the
God.
Love of God?
Yeah, right? Can we get off the badge?
You were talking about me, please.
That is so funny. Can we please get back to me and my camel?
You mentioned bearded clam.
So,
that's what you mentioned.
Bearded dragon.
Bearded dragon, and then it segued and spiraled out of control.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it went straight to segue. Yeah. It went straight to spiral. Yeah. Never even
see,
segue.
That's what you can expect.
So you started off studying herpetology.
Yes, at the University of Colorado.
Okay.
And then I dropped out of there, and then I started school at Colorado Mountain College before I left for the military. And then, let's see, I ended up at Salem State College in Massachusetts.
Right. I thought I read this about you. Okay.
Yep,
uh-huh.
Where I was actually a special education major.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for 2 years. And then I decided I want to go back into psychology, and eventually that will lead me to be a sex therapist, hopefully.
Wow.
So I could deal with perverts like you guys.
Absolutely.
On a professional level.
There you go. Maybe you can fix us or something.
Yeah, cure.
There's got to be a cure somewhere.
Yeah. We'll do it.
And
we'll
also to treat my own dirty mind, seriously.
Yeah. You're slightly on the
I'm not
going to
blame it all on
this,
you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, it is one of, because I did read your bio on the latalkradio.com. And yeah, I tell you, you really are like unbelievably well-rounded. There's so much to you. It's fascinating.
She really is, you know, and I told her this. I said, I would never consider anyone less than 30 to do the show simply because, you know, you feel they haven't been through a lot.
Right,
they haven't married. They haven't had kids.
Right.
Well, she hasn't either. But the point is, she's got like a colorful, full life. She's full of stories. I mean,
There's not much that you really aren't conversant in. I mean, if you're in military intelligence, that covers so much ground. I have a friend who's in intel.
Yeah.
And
is that where you were, in intel in the military?
Here's the thing. I was in intel for 2 years, and then I had a little bit of a problem getting my top secret security clearance. The Department of Defense labeled me verbatim, I think it was a sketchy motherfucker. So
how did they figure that out?
I don't know. Ever since 9/11, you know, they're doing like serious background checks, and they really, really want you to be like really squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
had like a little arrest
here and there.
Or something.
Well, minor details, you know. You know, I was telling Sam before I went to Burning Man. You know, you take acid once or twice or three times, whatever.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
And
there
are,
in fact, to some degree, very scantily clad photos of you somewhere out there, aren't there? At Burning Man. There's stuff. Somebody's got something somewhere.
You know what? I was actually talking with yet again another ex-boyfriend. I have a whole closet full.
Obviously. She picks up men at the stoplight.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Did that ever happen to you? Did any woman ever
pick up a guy at a stoplight?
No.
Fuck no.
Did a woman pick you up at a fucking stoplight?
Actually, this was a funny one. I should not have been driving because I'd had a couple cocktails, but I was coming back from this bike ride in the valley, and I was headed down Venice, and I have a red Mini Cooper, and so I'm at a stoplight, and I look left, and I see this guy in a yellow Mini Cooper, and he was kind of like looking at me, and I was like, hey, baby, and he looks over, and he's like, grr, and so we go to the next stoplight,
awesome.
And so I continue, I'm eye-fucking him, and I'm like, hey, baby, hey,
you are,
so he keeps looking at me, and I'm finally breaking him down. Next thing you know, we're driving along 30 miles an hour, our window's down, exchanging like MySpace information.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out his name is actually Cooper. His father had so many Mini Coopers. I dated the guy for like a month.
Yeah.
You know, just because I picked him up in the street this way.
Wow.
I met one of my stockbrokers on a highway in Boston. He and a bunch of guys that they were driving to a meeting, they got in an accident because we were actually talking, something out of a movie. And then after they crashed into the car in front of them, I was like, I'm so sorry. They're like, you owe us your phone number now, lady.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, you can take me out to dinner. Fine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Wait, one of your stockbrokers...
Do you
currently have investments in, like, you have several stockbrokers?
A couple, yeah.
You're a fucking nanny. You don't need the nanny job. The nanny job is for fun, isn't it? You really like the kids. You dig the family.
I really like the kids.
You like Malibu.
I like Malibu.
You don't need none of this. You're actually probably pretty well set, aren't you?
She started very young as an actress and model.
I picked up that too. You're doing okay.
Well, the investments mostly come. My father gave my sister and me a couple of years ago a severance package, if you will, and he said, "I don't want you kids ever asking for another fucking penny."
Okay, look, golden parachute.
That's a good idea.
You just walk away.
Yeah.
Well, he did it in a really funny way. He did it in the guise of like a kind of a reality show, if you will. So he handed us both a binder, and it was called Master of the Universe. And we're like, okay, Dad, what the fuck is this? And he's like, open it up. And it was like the Bible story of like the prodigal son.
Yes.
And we basically, you know, we each received like a large check, and we had to open up a money market account, and we had to research every month like different stocks and what we were going to buy and sell. And
that's
then,
awesome.
And
yeah.
Then, but
I
it
mean,
was
I
a,
wish,
it
yeah,
was a
I
competition.
Mean, my father never, yeah, go ahead.
And so we had 1 year to see who would make more money than the other.
Really?
The next year... I got my first Christmas present. I opened it up. Uh-huh. It was a raw veal cutlet. I was like, Dad, what the fuck is this? And I was a vegetarian at the time. So I like threw it in his face. I'm like, you're disgusting. And he's like, Suzanne, you squandered your money. I killed the fatted calf.
Your father's awesome.
Oh.
What did your sister get?
She got another check.
Well, you know what? She deserved it.
And I was penalized, and I had to pay her, too, because I squandered my money.
Well,
I didn't squander all of it.
But in the end now, unbelievable lesson learned, huh?
Yeah.
You are... that's awesome. What does your dad do?
What lesson was I supposed to learn again?
I don't know. what does your dad do?
He is a builder. Right now, he's actually building in Vegas, but usually New York City.
Okay. Oh, so he's well fine. He's just fine. He could probably cut a few Mordo's checks.
Yeah. Well, let's not do the math for other people. You know?
He's fine. He's a constructor. He's a builder. He ain't a laborer. He ain't carrying bricks.
He plays a lot of golf.
Yeah. Between Vegas and New York, he's building. Yeah. And he thinks he's fine.
Okay, then that's good. Well,
yeah.
So what did you start telling about that boyfriend? You started saying
which one? Todd. Oh, yeah, Todd. So Todd back, he's back in New Hampshire, actually. I think he just moved back to Massachusetts. But anyway, when I told him I got this job on the radio, he was like, oh, Susie. He's like, that's so fucking perfect for you. He's like, you know what? You have to be in show business in some form or another. And he said, we're really going to make you marketable. I'm going to get a website. We're going to get all these pictures together. And he's like, oh, wait, the pictures are already out there, aren't they? And I'm like, oh, no, really? You still have those? I'm like,
Where are they?
TJ needs to know. Give him the address.
They're in a safe. No, they're in a safe, and the key is
locked. Wow, good move. Yeah. Yes. These days it doesn't matter.
It'll come out when you're really big.
It don't matter.
But that's okay. you have no problem with that. That's the thing. I mean, you're not uptight, you know?
No, and
yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah, so that's good. That's good. I mean, she walked around naked at Burning Man, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, no problem.
Yeah, I always thought I'd make it up to Burning Man. That's not going to happen. We got a baby coming.
You got to do it before the baby.
I know. I don't think.
When is it usually, did you say?
It starts usually like August 25th, and it goes for a week.
Are you serious? So it's coming up.
Are you going?
Well,
you have to be a correspondent from Burning Man.
Yeah.
We got to go broadcast from Burning Man.
Let's broadcast
from Burning Man.
You know what? Actually, my girlfriend's coming into town from Colorado, and she's the one I go to Burning Man with every year. And she was...
Wait, TJ.
Okay. She was telling her...
She's bringing more chicks.
I was telling
her... I
was telling her I couldn't go to Burning Man this year because of the radio gig. And she's like, no, you've got to broadcast live from Burning Man. And I'm like, I don't know. I'll see. I don't know.
Sam. I know. I mean, that'd be an awesome fucking idea.
I can't promise I would be in any state of mind.
Live and naked from Burning Man.
Do they have any power there?
They do have power.
Yeah. What they don't have is probably internet access, you know? How the hell are we going to broadcast from there?
We'll run a friggin'... You know what? Nothing. Hey, Sam, between you and me.
Yeah.
We don't have to do it, God. We'll just take pictures of the two of them naked at Burning Man, and we'll say, talk into the microphone. They'll be all high on
Sounds
acid
like
and mushrooms
idea.
And shit. They won't know. They won't look for the cable plugged into the sand. Yeah, we have an underground cable in there. Just take off your... go ahead, talk.
Yeah. No, actually, we could probably make an arrangement. I'm sure we could.
We can make an arrangement.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn.
We need is a friggin' laptop, and we can do a show from there.
Sounds
good.
I can't believe you guys are doing this to me.
To you, you'd love it. You'd love it to be the correspondent from Burning Man. We could set up a tent. It says latalkradio.com, be on the air. Wait, August 25th, is that when it normally, or is that the schedule this year?
I don't know the exact date for it this year, just because I actually wasn't planning on going.
Right.
You know what? I've got a gypsy tattoo on my arm. I'm up for anything.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be in New York until I'm going from the 20th of August through the 31st.
By the way, though, so if you're not going to be here, and I was going to bring it up when you mentioned something about, guys walking topless is okay, but women, okay. We have somebody coming up. In fact, she's going to call in yesterday about an event that's called Go Topless.
Oh.
And she's going to talk about it tomorrow. And they're planning something out here where there's going to be a walk of topless women. And
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, they're protesting. Take the cameras. They're protesting the fact that women should be allowed to go topless like men do.
You know what? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
When I was in Vancouver, I was actually... I kind of was dating someone last year when I went to Burning Man, and I left Burning Man with another man.
Do you believe this? You would not want to be in a relationship with her.
This kid is gold. Yes. This kid is gold.
But so anyway, the guy I left Burning Man with, we took some weird drug, I don't know what it was, and we hitchhiked to Reno, and then we rented a Mustang, and we drove back to California, but he was from Vancouver. And so then we flew directly from LA to Vancouver, where we went to this party, and we call it Sunderday because we start on Saturday and we party all night, and it goes like to Sunday morning. And then we were up on this roof deck, and all of a sudden they were like, it's turning into a topless roof deck party. Oh. And I was like, really? And so, you know, of course off comes the shirt. And we're just running around the roof deck completely topless. And it's legal in Canada.
Yeah.
You can go to the grocery store topless in Canada if you want.
Technically,
wow.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, people don't really do it, but you actually can.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're very uptight in this country, you know?
And
thanks
it's
to conservatives like you. Thank you very much.
You know, Andy used to hang it. That was one of the first things I had to get used to. My wife was a showgirl on cruise ships when I met her, and... And her and the girls used to hang out topless up on the sun deck. There was a topless deck on these carnival ships. And I had to get used to the idea that my girlfriend was laying out topless with all these other girls. And, you know, and guys would come up and go. It took me about a day to get used to the fact. Because you turn that into a turn-on. You know?
Exactly.
That goes into a whole different
fantasy
realm.
Instead of worrying about people looking at her, you're looking at the other girls.
I got an opportunity. Yeah, it's a whole different... But it is different. Yes, we are slightly uptight. You know, I just...
It's like when you're at the grocery store and it's like breast or thigh. Like, which meat do I want tonight?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
get a good feel.
So this woman, what's the name of her organization? The woman who's coming.
I forgot, but
when is she coming on the show?
She's going to be calling in. She's not in town.
That is a great cause. Yeah.
It is. For one, I want to go there. My 15-year-old son, I told
he
him about
to
it.
Sometime.
Yeah. He wants to go, but he's in camp now. So right. We'll see. I sent him an email. I said, I'll take photos for you.
Yeah. He's like, Jesus, Dad, I'll carry you. I'll pick you up.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember how frustrated, were you sexually frustrated 15 already?
Yes.
Yes, me too.
Oh, ridiculous. I don't know what I would do now.
I have my power tools.
I don't know what I would do today if I was 15 today. My head would explode.
Tools or not, women get sex whenever the hell they want. You know, it's us that have the frustration. Until you get married and then the husband gets tired of you and then it's the other way around.
It's the other way around.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Really? Not you, though. Not you, sweetheart.
The husband's going to get tired of me?
Not you.
My current boyfriend says I have enough personality just to keep any man
there you go. Everything
occupied for the rest of the life.
And you do.
This is true. Yes, you can have several husbands. You can go.
Oh, shucks, thanks.
Thanks. She's like any
Wait,
man.
Wait, was that a
yes.
compliment?
Yes.
Really?
I think she counts her men not by the lifetime, but by the month or something, right?
Actually,
monthly.
The current one I have now, he's been around for a while. He hasn't left my couch.
He's a keeper. Yeah.
Well, no, he just hasn't left my apartment.
Oh,
Because he doesn't think it's too serious when she picks up the men.
He's homeless and unemployed. Well, I guess he's not homeless because he lives at my house now. but I brought him to Vegas to meet my dad, and my father was walking us around his construction site, introducing. He wouldn't even bother to remember his name. His name is Franz, by the way.
Franz.
But so he wouldn't remember his name. My father's like waving his hand. Yeah, this is my crazy nasty daughter. And I was like, Dad, like why are you introducing me that way? And her beau de jour, you know, just kind of flicking him off.
Yeah. That is very funny.
The poor boyfriend, you know, I had just recently started dating him, and he looked at me and he's like, why is he calling me that? You know, like, what's going on, sweetie? And I was like, don't worry, he doesn't really mean it. And I'm like, Dad, shut up. You know, don't
I'm almost done with this guy.
You know, I have another week left. Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So what is his? What does he do? What is he? What would he be doing if he was working?
If he were working, he'd be a photographer. He actually took the pictures of me that are up on the site. So he is skilled with his photography. Yeah. He's absolutely unbelievable. But he's just not terribly motivated all the time.
Great guy to settle down with. There you go.
All right. Yeah. Well, on that note. TJ, thanks for visiting.
Thank you. I just want to plug my show on Friday.
Go ahead.
Friday, I've got a big coup here. I'm gonna have all of the candidates for mayor. As you know, I am sick and tired of Antonio Villaraigosa. I think it's about time we get a mayor who's willing to show up for the job. Earthquake happened last week. Right. Villaraigosa was fly fishing in Iceland.
Oh yeah.
We finally made contact with him in London.
Mm.
Ooh. This guy's never here, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. So Bruce Darien, candidate for mayor of City of Los Angeles, will be on Friday, and then throughout the rest of the fall, we're going to get all the other candidates for mayor who are going to be challenging Villaraigosa for the seat.
Right.
And we're going to have all the candidates on. We're going to make LA Talk Radio their forum because the rest of the media does not take them seriously.
Really? That's cool. There you go.
Yes. So we're going to have all. This is going to be. Nice I want to make LA Talk Radio and the world of TJ McCormick ground zero for the for the voiceless candidates who don't get the time of day from the mainstream media.
That's going to be extremely interesting.
Yes, we'll be
tuned in.
Yes, I can be sophisticated when I want to be.
Yes, you can.
Yeah,
yes, you can.
I can be. Take a few time.
You could dress them up.
you can polish this turd.
Yeah, don't pay attention to me. I don't know who this guy is.
I am a polishable turd.
Crash the show.
Thank you for letting me sit in, by the way. It's really nice when you do that.
Of course,
you have a choice.
Oh, this one. Here she is. Oh, Susie's here.
Yeah, Susie is indeed here.
She gets mighty comfortable mighty quick, doesn't she? Yeah.
That's the whole thing, yeah. Susie, thanks a lot for everything. You've been amazing today.
Thank you
for
having
me. And I'm so happy that you're here.
Me too.
We've got a show together.
This is good stuff.
We've got a show together.
Oh, you got a big one here. This is good.
Yeah. And now, do you want to give out, we haven't put any links on the site for you. Do you want to send any people to MySpace, to your Facebook?
I do. I told you the other day I'm really bad with like technology, and I still don't even know like my link for my Facebook.
Okay, I'll do it for you.
If you could do that.
Sure.
Not that you don't have enough to do.
Okay. Excuse me. So you can find Susie Rally on Facebook.
Rally, like the capital of North Carolina.
There you go. And actually, Rally is also the one of the best brands for bicycle.
Oh,
right?
and as I told you before, I'm a bicyclist.
Yes.
And actually, it's kind of one of my jokes. It's like, oh, you're riding a rally. Ooh, how do you like it?
Yeah, a rally on a rally.
Is it ride hard?
Yeah.
Is it good and strong? Jeez. Is it in for the long haul?
I mean, we're enjoying her, but can you imagine her as your daughter? My God, I would jump off a building.
Let me just tell you quickly, my grandpa's a retired OBGYN. Dinner parties are never dull. My grandma's email address is blahblah69@AOL.com.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's got the good genes.
What?
All right, folks.
Awesome.
Okay, well, we've got a run. We have a rerun of Green and Easy Living coming up next. Of course, at noon, we have TJ McCormick, who's sitting here right here with us. And at 2 o'clock, it's the Damage Report with Johnny Dam. These are the daily shows. And for the rest of the schedule, please check out our website. We'll see you tomorrow.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time